Hello, loves, and welcome to the Nymph Oracle Podcast with Jennifer Posada. This is the podcast where I walk outside and talk to you in a conversational way about your most burning questions, and I love doing it, and I love the times I'm walking into the forest, and I feel like I am actually leaving the rest of the world behind and stepping into bird song and sunlight. And I know that being a nymph in this world, or anything like that, doesn't always mean we get to leave the world behind. Oh, there are dragonflies in front of me, two of them. They just, oh, that was so beautiful. They just did this beautiful little dance around each other right in front of me in the path and then flew away. Oh, that was so special. Wow. Oh my gosh, that's just making me feel a lot of things. Okay, sorry about that noise if my microphone was brushing. I know we all don't always get to step out, quote unquote, of the world. I know it's not always that we're walking in dappled light watching fireflies, or that's beautiful too, usually in the dark, watching dragonflies dance around. It's wonderful when we can do anything like that, when we can go anywhere in nature that fills us up, that reminds us, that nourishes us. And it's also so helpful to be able to bring some of that into the areas of our lives that don't feel that way. And as many of you know who know my work well, it's a huge part of what I talk about. And so talking today about how to bring the experience of pleasure into times that involve pain, some of you might be thinking, you know, if you really know my work, like Jen, you have talked about this a lot. You have gone into the nuances of this a lot. So I'm going to lean against a rock and just say, I'm pretty sure everyone would agree with me, you cannot get too good at this. The better you get at that, it is honestly one of the most magical alchemies you could ever do in this life, is find ways to bring some of the pleasure or the enchantment of being connected to your deepest, most magical self into difficult, challenging, or painful situations or scenarios. And one of the most important things about this is that it doesn't mean you have to, or you're aiming to, just launch into some kind of rich pleasure experience or ecstatic state from the deep dark of pain or challenge. There's a finesse, a finessing. There's a gentle space, a space for gentleness. Even if nothing feels gentle, and even maybe you feel hopelessness or despair, it's about maybe trying to lean into things that would be gentle, maybe even having it not work, and kind of leaning towards something else until you feel a little tiny softening or ease or groundedness. And sometimes it's not that hard, but I want you to feel like you have tools even when it is. One of the things, although I've definitely had many kinds of severe hardship in my life, many kinds, and some of it has been like unrelenting. I'm thinking of situations where I was with a loved one in a medical or dental or other type of situation that was severe, and the little ways that I helped my body feel a little better in those moments. And it didn't just erase everything, but wow, it made a difference. I remember when I first started wearing minimalist shoes, shoes that don't have any rise in the heel, and I was learning about being able to lean. Basically, I fell in love with being able to have my whole feet on the ground all the time. And I remember being in an ER and just feeling my feet all the way against the ground. And I felt this like rush of comfort that at least I could like stand on my own 2 feet in that particular way. So another time for like a dental surgery that I was there for, I remember the way that I was sitting. I had become sore from like there, it had been at a very stressful time in general. And I found a way to move my body enough that I could work some of that strain and stiffness through in that actual moment. So I want to give an example from the other night. Somebody had posted in the community, I can't remember if it was that day or the next day, and then I reflected back on it, but I had a really tough night where I wasn't sleeping much, or I think maybe I'd had an exposure to something like, you know, chemicals or some kind of mold or dusty situation, something, and or ate something weird. These are all the things that can sometimes contribute to a challenging night for me. And when I was up in the night, when I woke up in the night, it was so really like tough. And the thought of, so sometimes when I'm up in the night, I have a little snack and read a little. And even the thought of getting myself to do that, it didn't sound like, oh, I'll go do that pleasurable thing. You know, there was just kind of a flicker of that's better than, you know, not doing those things or something like that. But when I had my little snack and leaned into reading a little bit, I felt that softness and pleasure come in and start to create that sense of a healing flow. Oh God, as I'm talking about that, I'm walking on a part of the trail where the sun is on me. Oh my gosh. And there's a warm wind coming from behind me. And it's, oh, more dragonflies. 2 more. Oh, there's a third one. Oh my God. So many. And the breeze was blowing through the tall grasses. And oh, there's like dry grass now, long dry grass on the trail. It looks like straw almost, and it looks all golden. And when the, excuse me, when the wind blew through the grasses, like pollen went through the air. I'm actually going to take a moment to cough because of it. It looked so enchanted. Even though I had to cough afterwards, that's fine. It was beautiful. Sometimes it's just that bit of a flow beginning to open up when we're in pain, and then there's a bit more room, or we've turned on this part, you know. So the combination of the little snack and then the things that I read, that some of it I wasn't that interested in, but here and there there'd be something interesting that I liked reading about or found inspiration in. And slowly that led me to experiencing more pleasure. And it didn't, you know, take away all of my pain in that moment. And that's not really what I was trying for. I was trying to bring in gentleness and the ease that would bring me back to sleep and trust that sleep would help, and it did. That's what felt organic, rather than sitting there trying to send it away completely, although there are things I could have done that would have made a larger impact. That was the flow that I trusted that night. Because that inner guidance about what feels right is a huge part of all of this and a big part of how pleasure and intuition can be connected. Both one leading to the other, both ways, which I talked about in the Oracle Circle this month. So I will say that as I was thinking about that night just now, I was also thinking about how even when I go through hard times or have been through them in over many years at times, I have this, I don't know if it's behind the scenes, but I have this huge reservoir of built up energy and goodness from leaning into pleasure in whatever ways felt natural day after day after day after day after day for years. And I always say that when you lean into what feels good to the degree that you can in the ways that feel authentic, there's an exponential result. You don't just get like, oh, I feel a little better now, or oh my gosh, I'm really experiencing just like total euphoria, and then it's over. First of all, you're building all of this into your neurology. That's why at this point, it's so freaking easy for me to lean into pleasure. I have trained my entire system to do it. And if you're thinking, oh my God, how long does that take? Or I don't know if I can do that. Trust me, you totally can. In fact, if this is your path, the more you listen to me in general, and the more you listen to me say these things over and over again, you deepen that into your being and it becomes, again, a reminder. And then you build reminders into your life without even trying, because you make changes around you that lead to automatic pleasure. For instance, me having a bunch of pillows in the room where I teach. I don't have to, they're just there. And every time I teach or whatever, the pillows are ready for me. The walls are painted a beautiful color because that was pleasurable and that's just ready for me. You start to make these changes as well around you that just set you up for, if not full-on pleasure, then feeling supported or comforted or nurtured or nourished. And if you are living from hotel room to hotel room and it's not even nice hotels and you're not having all the best pillows and the best whatever, I mean, you don't have it all set up, you still have your inner realms available to you. There's still probably some pillows. I mean, some of you are in scenarios perhaps where there's not, but, and maybe pillows aren't your fucking thing and that's okay too. But they certainly do serve as an awfully good metaphor for bringing in comfort and softness. And if comfort and softness have been foreign or don't feel safe, it may take time to realize that they're to gently, continuously bring in safety associated with softness. So if you were in this imaginary hotel room, there are probably pillows on the bed and you might feel safer if you lock the door or put on music, or there are a host of other things that might make you feel a little safer. And maybe you still don't feel totally safe. I mean, there's not like a light switch that we flip and we feel safe or unsafe. You know, sometimes it feels that clear, but it's usually that there's a whole spectrum and we're just leaning a little more toward what would make me feel a little safer and a little better. You know, maybe even in that hotel room, maybe there's a hot shower you could have and a clean towel. So I know that all of this, and whether and how much it helps, depends on how deep the dark is. I really do. And how severe and unrelenting the pain is, and how much trauma there is to heal. So I want you to know that a lot of the amazing beings who are interested in my work have also chosen some of the most difficult paths. I just have noticed that to be true. And I talk a lot about this in a previous podcast episode called Why We Suffer So Much, or Why Do We Suffer So Much, something like that. And so all the more reason, to whatever degree it feels right to you, to stay focused on the opportunities that end up feeling authentic to you, that bring nourishment in, to carry you through on these intense missions. And no, it doesn't always have to be this way. No, it doesn't. There can be grace and abundance and ease. It just so happens, and you know, calling that in for everyone who wants that, but it just so happens that if you look back and you see that there is a lot of trial, or many trials, you're not alone. We came to a world that is very fucking different than the world we know inside and remember. And it was very courageous to do so. And what I'm here to do is help bring those worlds together. It's what you're here to do too. And I mean the worlds we might call realms of the nymphs, or magical realms, or states of higher consciousness. You can call it a lot of different things. So when we do things that help make those worlds feel more congruent, it is healing. It changes you, your world and life, and even the world and greater realms beyond just this planet. And sometimes you can really tell that it makes a difference, and sometimes you have no idea that you walking like I'm walking in the woods makes any difference. Okay. And sometimes thinking about making a difference isn't what would bring you pleasure. I know most of the time for most of us, it matters greatly. It's why we chose these missions. And to unlock certain superpowers that we have. Or deepen them. So when you walk in the woods, or if that is something that you like, I don't want to assume. This world that we live in now, and the world we remember as, let's say, nymphs, if that's something we identify with in any way, they're not separate. I'm just pausing to let the birds agree with me. And it is June when I'm recording this, and I am in the Northern Hemisphere, and it is fucking beautiful. But in the wintertime, if you go back to earlier podcast sessions in the beginning, I'm mostly walking like streets and parking lots and yards. And I'm still finding bright spots of nature. I have my hand on some Osnia right now that fell out of a tree right into the path, and just touching it, feeling the medicine of it without even ingesting it. And this can help to fortify me through my day. So, pleasure as medicine, especially when we don't feel like we have to create such a binary between pleasure and pain. We're either in pleasure or in pain. Where you can embrace the parts that of life or of your experience in your body that are not, you know, not feeling good, and still gently explore without a lot of pressure what might make things feel even a little better. Most of you have probably heard me at this point say that two of my favorite ways, well, that one of my favorite ways to make things a little better is just to unbutton my pants. Like if I'm teaching or sitting or whatever. But that's like antiquated for me now because I just don't wear pants that are tight in any way on me. I'm like not doing that. I mean, I might maybe to like dress up for fun. But that, I mean, if you think about that, unbuttoning your pants, it's mostly accessible for a lot of people. And then I always say, even crying on the floor is better with a pillow, right? Anyone ever put their like face on this? I don't mean to make this sound comical, but you know, sometimes you just gotta laugh, or at least like almost like it's like commiserating. But ever put your face on like cold linoleum? Like it's rugged already to cry on the floor. But if you hold a pillow, it helps. It doesn't take away the reason you're crying on the floor, but it fucking changes the game. It fucking changes the game. What I'm talking about right here, right now in the forest today changes the whole fucking game. So when you get these messages, like the ones I'm sharing and the ones that begin to just come from inside you all the time, if they, I'm sure they, for many of you, they do already. When you start to get these messages over and over again, it's not just permission, because at first it just takes a lot of permission, because nobody generally ever really is given permission to make their own pleasure important. But it's not just permission, it's encouragement. It's saying your pleasure is so valuable, so valuable. It's precious beyond all measure. It has the secret treasures of all the ages, like. And this is why I go back to that Priestesses of Aphrodite course that I taught, about that memory I had about the priestesses, where their only purpose and mission was to be in pleasure, because it was believed in the temple and in their communities that they kept the community, the greater world at large, in harmony, or greater harmony, just by being in their pleasure. It had a naturally protective, a nourishing, energetic that it offered beyond just themselves. And yet we have been told generally that pleasure is selfish and unimportant and pretty much not to be trusted. And then, insult to injury, we end up in varying types of pain, being here in this world as it is. And then it feels, on top of everything else, just plain damn freaking inaccessible. So, in some of my courses, I talk about, you know, like your favorite types of pleasure or ways to experience pleasure. And this can change over time quite a bit or day to day. And then like these heightened states of pleasure or these things that tend to be like your go-to if nothing else was working for you, like, and you had that type of experience, maybe it's not an experience you can access on demand, but maybe it is, it would bring you to pleasure or deeper pleasure under most circumstances. Like it's like a concentrated experience of pleasure. So as you get to know what those are for you, but also what the smaller things are that feel reachable in tough moments, you become really good at drawing on and leaning into these resources around you and inside of you. And it becomes easier and easier to do this. And then when you find yourself in a tough place, in a tough moment, and you ask yourself, like, you're just sort of spinning out, you might, you know, not because you're like just lost and confused. I feel like spinning out kind of is used in a dismissive sort of a way. But like really, really struggling, you might remember, okay, I usually find it quite helpful to maybe sit in a place that makes me feel grounded, like sit on the floor or on the earth if you can, and just let myself maybe even just rest for a moment or feel what I'm feeling without any pressure to do anything else as soon as I can take a breather. Maybe I do need to step outside and take a breather. You know, maybe it would help me to look at a tree. I'm talking about when you're in your super tough situations. Maybe the warmth of a cup of tea, my hands on the warm cup of tea before I've even had a sip, is going to feel comforting. Maybe a blanket to wrap around me is going to feel comforting. Or pulling up my hood on my jacket. And again, these micro changes make all the difference. And again, being closer and closer to your inner guidance, showing you like what would help, or your body, being so connected to your body and what it might show you that you want or need. And then as you come through to the other side, being a person who's connected to your intuition or on that path, you're likely to get insights that help you understand more about what's going on, where to go next, what the meaningfulness was about this challenge. And I know some of the challenges, we have to wait a long time to fully comprehend their meaning. Or sometimes we're not deep enough into our intuitive journey that we feel comfortable going in and always getting support or reassurance. And so we have to be so understanding and stay on the path, because there does come a point where you can always access that. I've talked a lot about it here and in the Oracle Circle, a lot in terms of when you're in the tough spots, how to still make contact with your intuition or help create the conditions that would support that. Because again, intuition and pleasure, very connected, can be very connected. So I know that honestly, I mean, this topic, there's so much more I could say about it, but I wanted to at least bring that in so that it's not, again, so we're not seeing or hopefully experiencing quite so much of a polarization like, oh, it's, we're focusing on pleasure this month and the community, and that's not where I'm at, so I don't get access, or this doesn't work or fit for me. And it's okay if it doesn't work or fit for you, but I'm making this episode, and I talk about it so much when I teach, because I wanted to always feel, to some degree, accessible. I want you to have so many tools and so many paint colors and so much access to your amazing gifts that you can feel more carried through challenges and more like you are a part of the understanding of the alchemy that's happening, either during the experience or ideally at least soon after. I hope this has been helpful, my loves, and I'm back to the spot where I saw the first dragonflies, and there are two more again in the path. Okay, they've flown on. There is magic for us. I hope there's something in your day that makes it feel obvious, right? More obvious maybe than just when you're cooking your lunch. Hopefully there's magic there too. But those moments maybe where you have some special synchronicity that reminds you that the magic really is real and that you are on your path and that it is so powerful and so important. Thank you for being on this journey with me. I already can't wait for next time. I know what I'm going to talk about. And I love you all so much. Until then, bye, loves.